KissRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found me.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best, we're best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of these.
Oh, the pad.
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
It's all been done before, and if you could only let it be, you would see. I like you the way you are.
Oh, do I have to go? I love this song. I haven't heard it in forever.
Well, you let it go for a minute, then.
No, I already talked. I'll go ahead and open the show. So, good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. Head over there after the show or open a new tab and check out their site while you're listening to us. They have an awesome sale going on right now on all kinds of sports memorabilia, including wrestling stuff. Go check them out because they're amazing. Again, that is MemorabiliaLane.com. Or, I'm sorry, MemLanePromo.com. Memorabilia Lane. I'll get it right one of these days. Probably, yeah. Anyway. And we have a random Matt Goldberg. Sweet. Hi, Matt Goldberg. Go check out his documentary, Terrified, which is amazing audiences all over the world. So anyway, I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful, ever-diligent producer, Sir Rockin'.
What's up, everybody? Things so complicated around here, huh? What? Anyway, hi.
Things seem to be very complicated for some people.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, welcome everybody to The Rack. We're gonna have some fun tonight. The producer's in a good mood, so.
Yes, we are going to have a lot of fun because we have a lot to talk about tonight. We have some breaking news that came out during the day. We've got news from SummerSlam, news that has come out during the week. Of course, we've got our Impact review. We'll tell you what happened because tonight was the big fight between the main event Mafia and the Aces and Eights. Who prevailed? Who went home? We'll tell you here in a bit. And, of course, then we've got our discussions. We're going to be talking a little bit about SummerSlam. We're, of course, going to go in-depth about the WWE 2K14 roster reveal, including talking all about the 30 years of WrestleMania mode. And if we have a little time, we might talk about our favorite new family, the Wyatts, but we'll have to see.
We'll see how things go. And plus, we're going to have an announcement in just, I don't know, set your clocks 10 minutes from now. Major announcement regarding this show and something that's coming to this show next week.
Really?
Really. We're going to talk about it in 10 minutes. So mark your clocks. 10 minutes.
Shiny. So anyway, before we get into all that, we have our question of the night. And what is our question of the night?
What was your favorite match from SummerSlam?
Yeah, we couldn't come up with anything. Sorry.
We were busy.
Yeah, we were busy dealing with other things when we did show prep last night. So yeah, that's the best you got for the question of the night. But before we get into that, which we'll do at the end of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com. That's right, the haven for TNA fans. Because, well, we've got some breaking TNA news that came out today/tonight. And I'm not sure which to lead off with first, because they're both pretty big stories.
Well, it's up to you. Go right ahead. Lead the way.
Well, I guess we got to talk about probably one of the... Probably the most recent story, I guess, to put it, is the fact that SoCalVal tweeted out tonight that she is no longer with TNA after 9 years with the company. She has departed. There is no news yet on whether she was because of budget cuts or because she left. But either way, we will miss SoCalVal, so best luck to her as she moves forward. I know she's excited for the future, so best of luck to her.
Yes, best of luck to her and all of her future endeavors. She's, you know, SoCalVal seems like a nice, cool chick, and I know she's done a lot for the company. She's had many roles. She's been a ring valet. She's done a ring announcing backstage. She does a lot of stuff on the house shows. So they're going to miss her, but it's one of those budget cut things that sort of creep up.
Yeah, and so, like I said, she's been almost, I wouldn't say from day one, but definitely for many, as, you know, 9 years, so at least since they went down to Florida. And as Rock said, she's been around for as long as I can remember. I know I've met her a couple times, and she's just an absolute sweetheart, so.
Yeah, I
hopefully.
Think she's been around since, what, 2004, if you do the math.
Yeah.
4 minus 3, carry the 7, yeah. Yeah. 9 years she's been around, and she'll land on her feet, and she'll probably be doing a lot more things in the entertainment industry, most likely.
Yes, so best of luck to SoCalVal as she moves forward. The other big news that came out today is about, well, one emo phenomenal one, AJ Styles. It seems that it hasn't been announced that AJ's contract is on the verge of expiring, and as of yet, both sides have not reached an agreement, basically. So there is the very good possibility, if they can't reach an agreement, that, well, AJ Styles may be gone from the company.
Yeah, the report is that it's a month out, that his contract is almost up. Will he leave? Will he stay? That's the biggest question. And what sparked a lot of interest is, and I'm going to quote here from his official fan page on Facebook, where do fans want AJ Styles to be? TNA, WWE, ROH, Japan? Lots of options, tough decisions.
I would say it depends on where AJ has an offer.
Right. You know that TNA wants to keep AJ Styles.
Oh, I'm sure TNA would love to keep AJ Styles. He is the face of their company. He's carried that company for 10 years, 11 years at this stage. So I'm sure TNA would love to keep him, but it's the question of what can they do with AJ? Granted, they did a really interesting turn with him in the new character that he's been portraying over the past couple months. They gave him a really long break. So there's some fresher storylines for him to do, but at the same time, AJ has literally faced everybody in that company twice.
Not even twice, like 4 times.
Yeah, it's like, you know, would he be better served to go to WWE, but at the same time, would AJ even make the main roster in WWE, given his age and given his style, because they would probably send him down to developmental.
I don't think AJ Styles would fit in the current day WWE product. That's just my opinion. Well, it'll be cool to see him there, but he wouldn't be treated like a star like he is in TNA. And with the way things turned out tonight, the fans will want to see him in TNA. And that's where he belongs. That's where he always should be. Will he go somewhere else? if the money's right, and with TNA having these, you know, budgetary issues, you never, never know. But they re-signed Magnus recently. They're working on other deals. And there's a bunch of other people that their contracts are coming up as well. So it's a tricky time for TNA. Tricky time.
It is. So this is an interesting story that's developing, and we will continue to follow it as it develops. Hopefully TNA can retain AJ Styles.
Yeah. And WrestleFanatic goes, what TNA needs to do is let go guys like Crappie T. Hernandez and bring in new talent. Yeah, I would agree with, like, Robbie T, because they have Magnus already, and they don't really use him.
It's not necessarily that they need to bring in new talent. I think it's they need to work with the talent that they have. Because the thing is there's really no new talent that they could bring in that they could really use much better than what they're doing right now. The problem is when they have an absolute huge roster, and they maybe bring only a third of it in for their shows. So it's like, you know, they have all these guys and girls on payroll, but yet, you know, they're only bringing in a handful at a time. That's why we really, aside from the top stars, we don't really see anybody from the undercard every week.
Right. And one of the things that they made a change that started tonight, and we'll get into it in a little bit, is that they got rid of the three-way. So that's, again, cutting down bringing in talent to the company.
Right.
And there's other reported rumored contracts, you know, coming up, like we've mentioned for weeks. Knox could be coming up really soon.
Pretty much all the Aces and Eights are coming up.
Yeah, the Aces and Eights guys are coming up. Ken Anderson, his is coming up soon as well. They're trying to work out a new deal with Anderson, and just like they are, hopefully, with AJ Styles. But it's all a wait and see.
It's something of, for Anderson and really for D-Von, it's kind of something, do they want to maybe go back to WWE? Is WWE really interested? You remember that quote that Triple H put out like a month or so ago where he said that they're not interested in anybody from TNA. So, you know, is it something that they want to stay where they are? Do they want to try to go back? Do they want to try to go to the Indies? Or in D-Von's case, does he want to retire?
For D-Von, he has a school. So,
right. So there's that as well, and that's something to consider.
Right. So we'll just have to wait and see. And I don't think we were on the air when this news broke. I think it broke the next day. Brooke Hogan has been let go from TNA?
Yes, Brooke Hogan has also been let go. That happened the next day.
So you know when Hulk Hogan's daughter isn't safe, no one's safe, brother.
Well, to be fair, and this is no offense to Brooke Hogan, she really was being paid to do pretty much nothing.
Right.
I mean, she was starting to come into her own in the role of Bully Ray's wife, but, I mean, prior to that, it's something of they were basically having her be the VP of the Knockouts or whatever. And she really wasn't, she really couldn't do much, and she didn't do much, and that was kind of the problem. So it's like you're basically paying her to come out and cut promos and dress pretty and do backstage segments, and it's like when you're facing, you know, budget cuts and you're trying to pay your talent and you want to keep certain talent, something's got to give, and so it's basically the people that they're paying to not do a lot, and in the case of Brooke Hogan, and no offense to SoCal Val, but SoCal Val as well, because she doesn't really do much, at least on camera. I don't know what she does backstage. But, you know, as far as on camera, she's basically a ring girl. It's those are people that are sort of extraneous that you can cut.
Right.
Without having to get rid of your main roster talent.
Mm-hmm. This is very true. So go ahead.
So at least they're trying to, at least it appears to move the money to where they can, it's going to do the most good.
Right, and they're rearranging their budget and filling in the spots they need to. So that's a good thing for TNA. Now, everyone, it's been 10 minutes. We have some big news about this show, Lindsay.
We do?
We do. Starting next weekend, it'll be a bi-weekly feature right here on the show. The Rack becomes your number one source for wrestling figure news. Thanks to the folks at WWE TNA Figures on Twitter, we will be your home for wrestling figure news every other week on this show.
Sweetness.
So look forward to wrestling figure news on this show.
You can look forward to my review of the Shield figures when they come out.
Yes, she will be reviewing the Shield figures, so be ready for it.
Yes, because I even have the release date saved in my phone.
So
to go to Kmart on that day and get them.
And I know that makes Matt Goldberg happy because he's, you know, all big in the wrestling figures and he has Crash Collision Wrestling on YouTube, so check that out when you can. So yeah, bi-weekly feature, wrestling figure news on the rack starting next week.
So, ooh, yay! Sweet. We may have to convince Matt Goldberg to maybe help us with that.
We might have to, maybe.
You know, if he's not too busy.
I know, he's you know, huge star right now, you know, big in Hollywood.
Oh, we got a note. Oh, I see how it is. Yeah, you're just too Hollywood for us now, Matt. I see how it is.
All right, and speaking of Matt Goldberg, we should sort of address that whole rumor thing. Since he's been screaming Uncle Bill in the chat room for the past 10 minutes. So there's a rumor going around that Goldberg versus Ryback is an interesting match for WrestleMania.
No. No.
Well, Goldberg writes on Twitter, thanks to folks at PW Mania for pulling it out. So apparently the new rumor is that Goldberg is in talks to do WrestleMania 30. How true is that? Nope.
Thank you. Thank you, God. No offense to Bill Goldberg, but oh my God, that would be awful. That would be horrible.
So as
okay,
of
well, think of it. Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg. 2.0.
So yeah, as of now, that he is saying no. When February comes around and he shows up, then well, it'll be yes. But as of now, it's nope.
Nope. He pulled a Dean. Nope.
Nope.
But kind of staying on track, at least for TNA for a minute, we're also going to be talking. We've got to talk about the other big news that came out, which of course is the X Division change.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that Hulk Hogan announced that the three-way matches for the X title are no more. They are going strictly back to one-on-one matches, to which I say thank goodness, because they were running out of people.
Yes, they were running out of people, running out of possible matches. And again, it saves, you know, money-wise for bringing in a third guy. This would hopefully lead to better feuds with the X Division. Maybe we'll get a feud.
Right.
Where the title will actually mean something. The three-way matches were good, but there was a while there they kept doing three ways, like three on one show, and it really got overkill, and I think they realized that.
Right, so it's good to see them go back to the one-on-one, and we will get into that tonight because there was a really good match with Manic and Sanjay Dutt, but we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But now transitioning into WWE, I think we should save at least most of the SummerSlam news for last.
Okay.
And talk about the, well, WWE wants to know. Got milk?
Yeah, they have a brand new campaign, don't they?
They do. Tell us about it.
If you give me one moment for, you know, Firefox to actually load, that would be awesome. WWE and Got Milk are teaming up for the Protein Fight Club. WWE and Milk PEP, the same organization that presented the highly influential Got Milk series, have announced a new partnership centered around a brand new campaign called Protein Fight Club. The partnership will launch at the world-famous Gleason's Gym underneath the Brooklyn Bridge, where Milk PEP introduced Protein Fight Club alongside Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. While the first rule of Fight Club is not to talk about Fight Club, the first rule of Protein Fight Club is actually to tell everyone about it. So they've launched a brand new partnership with Milk for this Protein Fight Club, and you know, it's pretty cool.
It sounds like a really cool thing, and I'm eager to see what they do with it.
there's more information available on www.com, and it will be posted on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WTRTheRack and Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely.
Because there's a whole video that goes along with it as well. So.
Yes, so look forward to that.
Yes.
And, well, now I guess the rest of the news is that we kind of have to talk about SummerSlam now. Because there was quite a lot that came out.
You want to start with what happened before SummerSlam?
I say we start with what happened before SummerSlam, because, yeah, there was a really interesting story circulating. For those of you that noticed during the pay-per-view, Alberto Del Rio had quite a shiner.
Oh, not just a shiner, his face was messed up.
Yes, his face was messed up, and there was a rumor going around that he and Drew McIntyre supposedly got into it, and Drew McIntyre beat the crap out of Del Rio. That's actually not true. There are stories going, it's kind of conflicting exactly what led to the fight, but essentially what happened is Drew and Del Rio got into it with a couple of guys in L.A. Some say that, you know, Del Rio started it. Others say Drew started it. Either way, the fight ensued. And, well, Del Rio ended up looking like he was looking. And Drew also suffered injuries, but his were not visible.
Yeah.
He had knocked the head or something like
that. Yeah, it took place apparently at a bar, supposedly at 3 a.m. the night prior to SummerSlam. Yeah, somebody said something to the girl McIntyre's with Del Rio stepped in, supposedly, and there's bottles in the fight, and yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually what happened, although it was kind of awesome there for a while that, you know, Drew beat the crap out of Del Rio. It's like, give me the feud! Get him out of the band! Put him in a feud with Del Rio! But no, sadly no. But the, well, the other thing that's sort of, I guess, bringing heat, as it were, is one Ric Flair. As everybody knows, Ric Flair was the surprise guest of WWE for SummerSlam. He's featured in multiple events, including the 2K roster reveal, which we're going to talk about later, and also a 2K panel that featured Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mankind, and somebody else. Who am I missing?
The happy, the jovial Jew.
Oh, that's right. Happy Heyman. I forgot. Happy Heyman. How could I forget Happy Heyman? And of course, it was led by JR. If you haven't seen it, by the way, go watch it.
It is available on the Facebook page at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Yes, and it's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was actually a lot of heat on Flair for his behavior, how he acted that night. WWE officials feel that he actually hijacked the panel, which I would somewhat agree with.
Yes, he hijacked the panel, but WWE 2K14 people, they were happy with it because it's got people talking about the symposium and his appearance. WWE was not quite happy, and Ric Flair made some comments on the Steve Austin podcast that was promoted heavily throughout that symposium.
That, yes, didn't help the situation. Also, Ric Flair brought up, well, the other company.
Yeah, he brought up TNA at one point, and JR was like, yeah, that's not going to make the TV version. But Ric Flair said the following: I don't know what happened last night. They told me to entertain them, and I did, but apparently it wasn't received the way it was supposed to be. The people who are running the game loved it, but the problem is corporate WWE gets mad at me, number one, which upsets me because I love the company. I respect them so much. I guess we just drifted and told stories, and they wanted to focus on the focus of the evening to be about the game. It's what he said in the Steve Austin podcast, available at podcast1.com.
Right, and that makes sense, and it's, you know, basically they had a whole script for JR to follow, and probably only about a third of the script got covered. Flair just sort of interrupted and took over, and at least the last 10 minutes just completely hijacked the entire thing.
And it's Mick Foley's fault, I'm just pointing that out. The whole thing, Foley's fault.
Yeah, basically JR was trying to save Flair for a certain point because he knew Flair was going to do that. So, but fully intervened and said, well, you know, Rick didn't get to talk, and then it all just kind of went downhill.
The last half hour just went downhill from there.
Yeah, so it's a good symposium. If you can watch it, go watch it. But yeah, there was heat on Flair, and it was to the point that Flair was actually supposed to appear on the proper pay-per-view. However, he was pulled due to his behavior. There's also question, he was supposed to appear or be signed as a PR person for WWE. That is now in question.
Yes, he was actually in town to sign his contract.
And, well, we don't know if he actually went ahead with the signing or not. At last check, it was still rumored that he had not signed it, and WWE was actually considering reneging on the deal based on his behavior in L.A. And it also didn't help that Ric Flair was drunk through the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't help his cause that he was drunk.
Yeah. So, again, this is another interesting story to kind of follow and see where it goes.
Indeed.
Indeed. But once again, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Mm-hmm. Yes, so go check that out. So now I guess we get to the actual pay-per-view.
Oh, the pay-per-view news?
The pay-per-view news. Because, you know, everybody kind of already knows about Cena, but we'll talk about that last. Basically, the pay-per-view, two really big notes came out of it. Punk and Lesnar got an obvious standing ovation from everybody in the back for their match, and rightfully so, because they went out there and completely tore it up.
Yeah, they did. They had an excellent, excellent match on the pay-per-view. If you haven't seen it, go order it on pay-per-view. It was tremendous. They really tore down the house, and the boys really appreciated it, too.
Yeah, they gave you everything in that match. You got wrestling, you got MMA, you got straight up fighting. It was well done. Mm-hmm. It's worth the money to go watch just that match.
There were several
other good ones as well.
Would you consider that your match of the night?
We'll have to see.
Okay.
Teaser.
Teaser.
Mm-hmm. But the other note is, and again, this is another interesting story, is, well, the feelings on the screw job. In case you live under a rock and you didn't hear about it, Daniel Bryan won the WWE title for 5 seconds, and then Daniel Bryan got screwed out of the WWE title when Randy Orton cashed in his Money in the Bank, and, well, Triple H sort of helped Randy Orton cash in his Money in the Bank by giving Daniel Bryan a pedigree and then counting the 1, 2, 3. There were a lot of mixed reactions backstage. Some people were happy with it. Some people weren't. They felt it sort of cheapened the finish by having Daniel Bryan go through everything he did with John Cena. And then, you know, he gets pedigreed, and then he's down for pretty much the rest of the night until the show went off the air to sell the pedigree. And they felt that kind of cheapened it to have a guy who's semi-retired be able to put Daniel Bryan out after everything John Cena did.
Yeah, I see their point, but at the same time, it was very awesome.
I can see their point, and it was very awesome, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you look at everything that John Cena did, and Daniel Bryan was probably exhausted, so it's perfectly logical to be able to buy the fact that, you know, Triple H drops Daniel Bryan on his face, and he's just out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy wrestled, what, a 30 to 45 minute match? A competitive 30 to 45 minute match?
Mm-hmm. Well, a good 30 minute match, yes.
With John Cena? And I'm sure Daniel Bryan can go much longer, but still, it's like, yeah, I can see that.
It's a pedigree. What can you do about it?
It's the pedigree, and honestly, it's Triple H. Do you really expect anything less?
No, you don't. No, you really don't. But I had no problem with the finish. But that's me.
Yeah. So I love the finish. Again, if you haven't seen that match as well, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, worth the money. There are mixed emotions all around on the finish. Some people liked it. Some people hated it. Some people are just on it. But it's definitely going to be interesting going forward.
Indeed.
Especially since, well, WWE is going forward without John Cena.
Yeah, they are. John Cena had surgery yesterday, I believe.
Yes.
On his torn triceps, which he revealed that he will be out 4 to 6 months on Monday Night Raw. And this is not, you know, I'm going to be back in 3 weeks type deal. He's actually taking time off, and WWE is wanting him to take time off.
Yeah, the feeling is that they're going to get John Cena ready for WrestleMania so they can have him in the best shape possible. You saw a very visible passing of the torch between John Cena and Daniel Bryan Monday night. And this is really the chance for Daniel Bryan to step up and prove himself. In fact, there's a rumor going around that WWE met with talent and they told them that, well, if you want to make yourself a star, this is the time.
Cena's time is up. Your time is now. Step up to the plate and make some noise.
Pretty much. So they're expecting everybody to pick up the slack while Cena is gone. And if anybody wants to get management's attention, well, this is now the time.
Pretty much, yeah. So WWE locker room, step up to the plate and make yourself a star.
Pretty much. And, you know, let's see if wouldn't mind seeing a certain show-off do that.
And he's going to have every other chance to coming very soon against your favorite trio.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, wait, which favorite trio? There's two.
The one you sing.
Oh, that one.
That one.
Yes, I can't wait.
That one.
Yes. The other ones that I don't sing yet. We haven't figured out what they're going to do yet, but we may talk about that later. If we have some time. But speaking of later, let's go ahead and kick it to our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting Impact, what happened to one who lost, and did someone from the Aces and Eights or the Main Event Mafia go home? I guess you'll have to tune in to find out. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Shoots up through the stony ground, there's no room, no space to rent in this town, you're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Extreme retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a giant
slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette since you're fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to get plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I'm a creek swimming, moonshine sipping, beer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening! Longnecks and rednecks are my friends.
I will say this, I'm not sorry about my damn luck because I had to go take a cold shower after the opening segment of Impact, but we'll get to that in a second. You're, of course, listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. And we are about ready to talk about tonight's TNA Impact, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com. That's right, the haven for TNA fans. And as you heard, we were brought back by one James Storm. So pretty. Should be illegal. He really should, you know, because he just makes me want to do bad things.
Easy now. Easy now. Easy.
I'm sorry. You can't tell I really easy, liked.
Easy, the easy, start cowboy of the show. Chick. Easy. Easy.
I can't help it. It's the jeans, okay? It's just the jeans. I can't do anything about it. I'm a girl. I have estrogen. Deal with it.
Oh, I do. I do. Trust me. I do.
So, anyway, let's get into tonight's Impact.
You know, Matt, you can uncover your ears now.
Yes. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, I need to warn you. Cover your ears. You may just want to leave them covered because, you know, I'm going to embarrass myself further here in a minute. So, Impact tonight. opens with Bully and Tito arriving backstage. He's on the phone with Brooke, in quotations, Tito, and, well, Bully tells her that Tito is jacked, he's ready to go, and they're uber excited, and Bully makes the comment that, well, last week was all about him, this week is all about them. So, more to lead to tonight. Bully then hangs up the phone, and they bump into Mr. Anderson. Mr. Anderson and Tito are properly introduced. And while Anderson says, yeah, it's great, it's awesome, I just wish I knew about it sooner. Anderson then whines about Bully, you know, not returning calls or text messages, not telling them what's going on, having secrets like, you know, Tito Ortiz, that would have been a nice thing to know. Especially since Anderson, well, he's kind of the VP. Bully asks him, when did he get so sensitive? Bully tells him that Tito was club business, to which Anderson kind of scoffs a little bit, because, well, you know, VP should know about club business. And then Bully tells Anderson to stop worrying about everything and just concentrate on earning his stripes and getting the job done tonight.
A little tension, little drama building inside the clubhouse. Some people are not as well informed as they once were, and, well, we'll get into it a little bit later with how other things were said. So,
Yes, we're starting to see a little bit of separation in the ranks. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we cut back to the arena where Bad Influence and Bobby Roode are making their way to the ring. Bobby offers his congratulations to Bully on his world title win. Bully says that Bully has once again found a way to screw the system. And, well, he's also found a new friend in Tito Ortiz, so well done to him. But Roode reminds Bully that, well, he's now got the target on his chest. And Roode says that, you know, the members of Ego are gunning for him, and one of them will win the world heavyweight title, whether anyone likes it or not. Personally, I like it. I'm totally okay with it. Christopher Daniels all the way.
Daniels for champ?
Daniels for champ. Daniels or we riot.
I'll be good.
Bobby tells us that he set the table. Literally, and because of that, he is now in second place in the Bound for Glory series. Kaz then takes the mic, and he tells us that he won his ladder match as well, and that he picked up 20 big points to finally get him on the board. Daniels lastly takes the mic, and he tells us that the Extraordinary Gentlemen's Organization.
Yes.
Sorry. I want to call it the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I know you do.
I that's what I want to call it.
Hold on, Matt, to answer your question, we meet at the squared circle.
We do, we totally do.
Anyway.
Daniels tells us that Ego is 2-0 and that tonight he will take it to 3-0 because, well, not only is he a ring general, not only is he the man that makes all the women scream, damn right, he's also the best street fighter. Bobby says that they are 25% of the Bound for Glory series, but why should they settle for a quarter when they can be a third? Bobby then asks Austin Aries to join himself and Bad Influence so they can have more control over the series. This leads to one cowboy, James Storm, and Gunner to interrupt, and James in his jeans march themselves down to the ring. And this is where I had to go, you know, get the cold shower ready. James asked Bobby, did he really just say that you can trust me? Because, well, I forgot to... There's so much going on, I didn't note it down. Bobby basically tells Austin, oh, you can trust me. You can totally trust me. You know, we work together. You know, Kaz and Daniels trust me. You could totally trust me. Mm-hmm. But James says, you know, did you really just say that? Really? You know, Storm tells everyone that it's not if, but when Bobby will kick them to the curb, and when that happens, and they look at James, all James is going to say is, sorry! But before he can get to the rest, Bobby cuts him off and says, how dare he? How dare you say such a thing?
Uh-huh.
Storm then says, you know, there was too many insults, and I wish we had audio of this, because this was a great exchange between Bobby and Storm, but it came down to the fact that Storm says that he's going to take off his hat, he's going to drink his beard, and then he's going to punch Bobby in the face.
So that's exactly what he did. He took off his shirt, took off his watch, took a swig of beer, and, well, punched Bobby right in the face.
as Bobby said, don't do it, Storm, you don't want to do it, you don't know what you're doing, and this led to a brawl between Gunner, Storm, and Ego. That eventually led to a tag match. We see Christopher Daniels sent to the back as he has a match later tonight, but it came down to Rude and Kazarian taking on Storm and Gunner. And a really good contest.
It was a really good contest. Let's talk about this open promo for a second. I enjoyed it. Not as much as you, because you got to see Christopher Daniels do his ass wiggle. And
I got to see Christopher Daniels do his ass wiggle, and I got a tag team wrestling match with everybody in jeans. Best impact ever.
So yeah, it was a good opening segment. I like that they want to add another man to the group to, you know, make their odds even stronger. And then we got the tag match, and it was a solid tag team match between the four guys. It's, you know, it's Rude and Kaz and Gunner and Storm. What else can you ask for, really?
Wes and Garrett coming for the belt, which is exactly what Wes said on Twitter.
Oh, good lord. More jeans. Jesus Christ. Won't be able to put up with you any longer.
Nope, you won't.
You'd be dead. Doing this impact recap all alone.
I'll just be sitting here on the couch twitching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can't really go wrong with these four. They all work extremely well together. This was a fantastic opening match.
Mm-hmm. But it saw Bobby Roode and Kaz actually pull out the victory after a sort of low blow.
Which was not nice, Bobby. Not nice at all.
Lindsay's been looking... Anyway, he went after the crown jewels, and yeah, Storm needs some ice on his jewels after that low blow.
Well, that's what he's got his beer for. He can serve two purposes.
He just put the anyway. Moving on, Rude and Kaz has picked up the victory. Because we're getting into the gray area where Matt will have to put the earmuffs back on.
We are. We totally are, because after this... We have Austin Aries backstage. He's being interviewed by the roving camera, and they're going, well, what happened? What happened? I mean, what are you going to do, Austin? And Austin says, well, last week it was the Mafia, and this week it's the Extraordinary Gentlemen's Organization that are making him an offer. Austin says that he's getting mixed messages because, well, does Ego actually have his back, or was it their fault that he lost last week? He's not sure. Austin acknowledges that there is strength in numbers, but, well... You are who you surround yourself with, and he's not sure he wants to be surrounded by the organization. Austin's got a lot to think about, and he tells us, well, I'll give you my answer later tonight.
And we will see what his answer is later in the show.
We will.
But up next, it is the X Division champion Manic taking on Sanjay Dutt in a non-title matchup. Solid match. They broke the news, which we talked about a few minutes ago, where all X Division matches will now be one-on-one going forward, where Taz responded A to it. So
at least till he heard it was Hogan's idea.
Yeah. So this was a solid match between the two. Manic was able to pull out the victory. And they noted that Sanjay Dutt is the most talented guy to not hold the X Division title. So maybe at some point the belt may wind up in his hands. Maybe.
I hope so. He deserves it.
I would agree. He does, for all his hard work and years of business, yeah, he deserves it. I was surprised when they said he didn't hold it before.
No, that was kind of one of the reasons why I believe he left all those years ago, was it was like he was always right at the cusp, and he could never quite get there. It's like always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of thing.
Right, that whole gimmick, yeah.
So that's why he left, and then eventually came back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think Sanjay definitely deserves it. It's nice to see him back. He can definitely hold pace. I thought the match he did with Manic was really well done.
Oh, the match was fine. They had more time, they could have told a better story, but the match itself was fine.
Well, I mean, they didn't have a lot of time to tell a full story.
Right.
But, solid match, good match. Go watch it on YouTube if you can find it. very well done. And then we move on to the backstage, where, well, the Aces and Eights want to know, what did Bully say? What did he say? You know, did Anderson get to talk to him? And Anderson says, well, yeah, I got to talk to him. And he tells the Aces that Bully, you know, wants them to get the job done against the Mafia tonight. You know, and, well, they're all ready. They're ready to take down the Mafia. Devon's ready to testify because nobody has the stones to stand up to them. And after tonight, it's going to be 5-on-3.
The Aces and Eights are trying to get the numbers in their favor.
Well, they already kind of have them in their favor, but...
Even more, they want more of an advantage.
Right, exactly. After this, we get a little powwow between the Mafia backstage where we don't hear anything, but they're all talking and they're all looking very serious.
They wanted to have a serious moment in honor of Lance Storm.
Yes. From Calgary, Alberta.
Dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada.
Yes. After this, we get a street fight featuring Jay Bradley, Hernandez, Christopher Daniels, and Joseph Park with Eric Young.
EY, Joseph Park. The new, what, dynamic duo?
Yes, the new dynamic duo. I don't know who's Batman and who's Robin, but oh my god, that was amazing. The once confident Christopher Daniels, well, sadly, was cheated out of 20 points, and we saw Joseph Park pick up the victory via the black hole slam after his lip got bloodied, and, well, he had his abyss moment.
Mm-hmm. He found that encouragement, that aggression, that intensity, that fire when he sees the blood, and, yeah. He went on a rampage, and he was able to hit a black hole slam.
Yeah, and I love the sell of this, because after the match, he was still kind of in that mode, in that headspace of being Abyss, and you have Eric Young getting in the ring, and he's tentatively getting in the ring, because, well, you know, Joseph Park is looking at him, and, well, it's not Joseph Park.
No, it's the Abyss. But yeah, in this matchup, Abyss picked up the huge 20 points with the victory after the Black Hole Slam. But when Aries came in and hit the brainbuster on Daniels, basically, you know, signify that he is not joining Ego and he's going to be all on his own. I love that EY was fanning Joseph Park.
Oh, that was great.
I thought that was tremendous.
That was tremendous. They make a great pair together. It's a nice match. Because you can do that comedy stuff, but at the same time, you have those really serious moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps to move Joseph Park along, because now it's figuring out, well, is it a split personality? What is it? And is it multiple personalities at this stage, I guess, because, you know, there could be Joseph Park, Chris Park, and then Abyss, but we'll get into that later. Because we actually had a really long, drawn-out conversation about this.
Yeah, and we'll get to it at some point.
At some point.
So,
but not right now.
Not right now. So yeah, Joseph Park gets 20 points and moves on. And now we're getting ready for the whole Bully Ray, I love you too, Brooke storyline. But you saw the Mafia, you know, they were you know, selling some anger, and they were, you know, Samoa Joe was upset, and Rampage wanted to beat the crap out of
Tito,
as it were. So yeah, he wants to punch him in the face. Magnus stood up and declared that they are the Mafia, and Joe said they were bred for war. They were very confident, even though they're going to have a disadvantage in the numbers.
Hey, sometimes confidence is all you need going into a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get a recap of the Bully Ray situation as it's progressed, where you see Bully go from good guy to bad guy, or bad guy to good guy to bad guy, whatever you want to say. And then it's the moment of truth, the segment that I guess most of us have been waiting for. Bully comes out with Tito Ortiz, who's a part of the Aces and Eights
yes.
now.
We have audio of this, if you want it.
Oh, yes, please. Audio. Yes, please.
So Bully and Tito are in the ring.
Tito, it sounds like everybody here tonight is really happy to see me. What? What? Are you mad? Are you pissed off? You know something? How does it feel to have the wool pulled over your eyes again? How does it feel to be suckered by me again? I got one question for everybody. Do you know who I am? I said, do you know who I am? I'm Bully Ray. I'm the president of the Aces and Eights. And I am the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Notice I did not say the two-time world champion, because I do not recognize Chris Sabin's world title victory. It was a fluke, Sabin. You never beat me. I beat myself. Everything is now right in TNA again. Which brings me to my new best friend. Do you know who this is? This is the Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz.
This goes to Rampage. Rampage, Rampage, Rampage. You should have known when you signed on the dotted line to fight me on November 2nd, it was going to change here in this ring. I knocked you out once on November 2nd. I'll do it again.
I told you people, nobody does shock like me. I told you people, nobody can surprise you like me. And if you think this was a big surprise, you're gonna be shocked. Now, I expose the secret that me and my girl have been hiding for a long, long time. It's time for the whole world to know about us. Get ready for the love of my life, Brooke Honey. Get down here right now.
Really?
Well,
Brooke Hogan.
Say what you want, I'm coming through. Brooke is his main squeeze, right? Brooke is Bully's main squeeze. Let's be honest.
Keep running from me all you want.
It's always great to see Brooke, right? We're going to see Brooke.
Because I'm not that kind of girl.
Catch you too. Hey!
What?
Look who it is!
That's not Brooke Hogan.
I said Brooke was Bully's main squeeze. Brooke Tessmacher is his main squeeze. I said Brooke! Oh, yes.
Cass, you mean to tell me that all this time, Bully Ray led us to believe those phone calls, that he was talking to Brooke Hogan, but in reality, Bully Ray, he was talking to Brooke Tessmacher?
Oh, this is good. This is good. pays to be the champ, baby. Pays to be the champ.
At this point, they're screen making out.
Which is kind of gross.
A little bit. And then, you know, we basically get the write-off at this point of Brooke Hogan when Brooke Tessmacher grabs the hand of Bully Ray. But first...
Hot Brooke with me.
Ouch.
Now that I got the Huntington Beach bad boy with me, now that I got my brother Taz with me, does anybody doubt that Bully Ray can ever be stopped? There's only one thing left to do.
And this is where Brooke puts her his finger in his...
We're done.
In her mouth and sucks off the ring and spits it out. And that's the end of Brooke Hogan in TNA Wrestling.
At least for right now. They may bring her back for a one shot or something like that. But yeah, it was really the best way to write her off because you can't acknowledge the fact that she got released.
Right. And they'll probably acknowledge more with when Hulk Hogan returns next week on Impact. And it was a well done segment. She will play the role pretty good. I can already tell the sleazy role. But what Bully said in this promo. He has himself the world title, Tito, the hot Brooke, and he has Taz.
Right, you're seeing that even further division between the Aces and Eights and Bully Ray, where it's Bully knows basically, or Bully believes who he can trust, which is Tito Ortiz, Taz, and Brooke. Mm-hmm. As it seems like he doesn't feel like he can trust the rest of the Aces to potentially get the job done.
Right. And I just love Taz bucking for the camera. By the way.
Oh, that was hilarious when they said, when I've got Taz, and they flash to Taz, and he gives this big goofy grin, and he waves at the camera. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, that's amazing.
That was well done. This was a fine segment. It was a nice introduction of Brooke Tessmacher back in the storylines, because we haven't seen her in months. So, welcome back, Brooke, and bye, Brooke. Even though, at this point, Brooke Hogan was doing a pretty good job before they let her go.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, you need girls that can work in the ring because sadly the Knockouts division is really hurting, mm-hmm. and Tessmacher is someone they can put in the ring and have her work, and I can see something where you start to have Brooke push for Mickie James' title with the help of Bully.
At some point, yes.
I can, if they don't get to Bound for Glory first, I can see them going for that, where you kind of have them holding the two big titles in the company for men's and women's, but we'll see if they get to Bound for Glory first.
Right.
But yeah, I liked the tease, because everybody's going, okay, what Brooke is it? And I like that they played Brooke Hogan's music.
Mm-hmm. And I like the subtle shot that I don't know if a lot of people got, you know, where Bully Ray said "About Us," which is a Brooke Hogan song.
Nice.
Her one hit. Anyway, that was the nice subtle shot I took out of that one.
Yeah, it's really kind of a shame because Bully is doing so many amazing things, and I wish more people could see it. I wish TNA had more exposure than it did. Because Bully's proving time and time again why he is the top heel, not only in TNA, but really almost in the industry at this stage.
One of the top heels in wrestling, yes.
And he's so good at it.
Oh, he but he's always been good at it, and this is just, he's letting it shine. He's an asshole, and well, he proves it.
time and time again!
On a weekly basis, he proves how much of an asshole he really is.
He does. But moving forward, speaking of the Knockouts, we have Gail Kim in a match with ODB. Very solid match. Gail Kim picks up the win.
Yes, the match was fine. Taz was saying she kept her bra on this time.
Yeah, he was complaining about ODB's outfit, saying she needed to have basically a size bigger. Taz was kind of funny in this match. He really was.
Mm-hmm. Taz was pretty good.
And then after this, well, they find Austin Aries. The roving camera once again, they interview Austin Aries, and Austin Aries says, well, he just gave me no their answer. You know, he can play mind games too. He didn't get where he is by being stupid. He got there by being smart, and he's one of the smartest guys in the business. Austin goes on to say that Bobby Roode needs help because Bobby picked the wrong guys. He picked two guys who have never been world champ. Austin has. But Austin doesn't need to politic for his spot. He doesn't need to be liked for his looks. He doesn't need to lie, cheat, or steal. He'll get there on his own volition. And he doesn't need anybody else to get him there.
Right.
So, nice solid promo by Austin.
Nice solid promo. This is where the show started to drag, because, you know, there's a lot of dragging in this part of the show. Just pointing that one out.
Yeah, this is where they were really stretching for time.
That's okay. I appreciate it, because it got me to watch the Phillies win the Phillies win, so I was appreciative of this stretch where there was not much going on. I really appreciate it, TNA. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, because I take notes during the show, and I could give my fingers a break. They announced Hogan will be live next week in Cleveland, Ohio. We should try and convince Spud to go to give us a live report. But after this, we get the Chris Sabin update. And it was really more of a promo package than an update. Basically, the parts that I could glean from the promo package were that he's disappointed and something has to change, that the Aces are the masters of manipulation, they're a disease, they're cancers, you know, that they find a way to win every time. Regardless of what's done, they always find a way to get the situation to their advantage. Sabin thought he had the Mafia at his back. Apparently he didn't. Rampage, though, he knows Rampage had his back. And he just can't believe what happened. He can't believe Tito Ortiz did what he did. And he knows he's not the champ anymore, but he will get his title back.
Yes, he will. He's dejected but determined. He'll be back, and he'll get back in the title picture, hopefully, in the future.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now we're rounding in the main event time. Main event Mafia versus the Aces and Aids 5-on-5, or 5-on-4, Faction Warfare. Mr. Anderson called out Bully Ray, and Brooke Tessmacher, and Tito Ortiz sat on the stage. Anderson reminded the Mafia that they were one man short tonight, and, you know, he goes, that's not fair, right? Anderson said that they should just pick one of them just to lay down. Sting said none of them are going to lay down for the Ace of the Eight. Sting said if they go down, they're going down fighting right here in Norfolk, Virginia. Cheap pop. And then suddenly we heard AJ Styles' new music play. He slowly walked to the ring, emo AJ Styles. And then he stops, pauses, looks at Bully Ray, pauses some more midway on a ramp, closes his eyes, looks down, and then rips off the jacket. It's the old AJ Styles, and Mike Tenay almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, Mike Tenay was overjoyed, to which I'm kind of a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I really liked emo AJ, so it's going to be interesting next week to see how they explain it.
Right.
On TV, why he went back to being the old AJ Styles. Because I liked emo AJ. I liked the direction they were taking him in, where he was going to this really dark place and kind of have him explore that a little bit more. But I guess they figured enough was enough. And so they brought back the old AJ Styles, I guess, for the crowd in case he leaves one more time. Or in case he leaves, you know, they could see the phenomenal one more time. Kind of a mini last run thing.
And then this matchup was pretty good. They all got their spots in.
Yeah, you saw AJ leap in the ring after he tore off his jacket. The fighting ensued. There was a lot of back and forth. Everybody hit their spots. It was a good match. They got time for it too, which was really nice.
They got plenty of time. Things, you know, calmed down at the end. Led to AJ Styles hitting the Styles Clash on Devon Dudley for the 1, 2, three.
Which left, of course, all the aces and eights stunned, and I absolutely adored Bully and Taz's sell of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bully was like, oh my god, D-Von.
His sergeant-in-arms is no longer there. D-Von.
Yeah, his sergeant-in-arms, his brother is no longer there.
Yeah, his brother is gone from TNA. Yeah. D-Von is now, once again, gone from TNA Wrestling.
And Taz sold it fantastic. It was a really great sell, and it was unexpected, because when we were sitting here and talking about it, it's like, well, who could they possibly let go? And I don't think D-Von's name even got brought up.
No, we mentioned a bunch of names. D-Von was not one of them.
Yeah, it's like you're thinking, okay, well, somebody's going to take the pin. It's going to be someone like Wes or Garrett or Knox. But, you know, we figured Anderson and D-Von would be safe because of their position in the company. But, well, apparently not.
Nope, but D-Von is now gone, and he's apparently taking bookings now through Bill Barron. So if you want to book him for something, go right ahead. Go contact Bill Barron.
Yes.
Yeah, fine. Second half of Hardcore Justice, as it were, because they were also calling the show Hardcore Justice. Part due. So, yeah, fine stuff tonight.
It was a good show. It was not as good as last week, I will say that, but it was a very nice follow-up to Hardcore Justice. I don't think they could really do much to follow that show up.
No, that show was really a really good show last week, so this was a little step down, but it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was well done. Bravo to TNA. Nice surprise for the aces and eights on both sides, so I'm very curious to see what they do next week.
Me too.
So on that note, let's kick it to our second break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be having, of course, one of our most favorite segments, which is Tweet of the Week. And we'll be giving you our SummerSlam review, along with all the WWE 2K14 news, the roster, the new modes that are coming out. We're going to be talking about that in-depth, and we might have a surprise for that, but we'll have to see. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we started talking hockey. Four. Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
No, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. Isn't he having fun? See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick on.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girls like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, if I could talk. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. They've got a huge sale going on right now, so go check it out either after the show or just pop open a new tab and browse while you listen. So if you're just joining us, you missed all the news coming from this week and, of course, our Impact review, which you can go back and listen to into the archives tomorrow. But you know what else they can listen to tomorrow?
What's that, Lindsay?
You can check out our Total Divas recap for episode three.
Our third recap in the series. Episode 4 of the show, Total Divas, available tomorrow afternoon right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Can't even get my plugs right. Good Lord. But you know what else they can check out?
What else can they check out?
Well, if you go to 7levelsofhate.com right now, you can pre-order the DVD featuring Adam Pearce, Cole Cabana, and many others as they document their hatred, their feud, which we talked to Adam Pearce about a few months ago, the 7 Levels of Hate. It's been made into a DVD. You get all 7 matches, plus commentary, plus insights, everything you can possibly think of. So go to 7levelsofhate.com to pre-order that DVD. And you get certain little sweet extras, I believe autographs, and that kind of thing when you pre-order.
Very, very fancy.
Yes, very, very fancy. And I know Adam Pearce and Cole Cabana and everybody else have worked very hard on this. And you can either order the DVD or you can also get it on digital download, but I don't think you can pre-order the digital download. So keep your eye out on 7levelsofhate.com for that as well. And it's definitely worth the buy. I'm going to tell you that right now.
It really, really is. So, yeah, go ahead and buy it. Pre-order it now, 7levelsofhate.com.
All right, so now, let's just go ahead and do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. I
until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Dolph Ziggler. Heel Ziggler. Midnight tonight, I'm eating nerds alive and spitting them out. No offense at WWE AJ Lee. She responds, so many joke options, my brain just exploded. AJ Lee, if there's any lesson I want to leave my female fans, it's that I have over a million followers without posting one damn selfie. Well done, AJ. Well done.
Yes, well played.
Caitlin, I, for one, would buy WWE t-shirts out of Daniel Bryan's car. I'd even buy it out of a sketchy van, hashtag Raw. She must like that Daniel Bryan.
She must.
Caitlin, at Heyman Hustle forgives because he's a lover, not a fighter, obviously. Let's see. Joey Styles, I predict new pairing of at the Real RVD and Ricardo Rodriguez will reach new heights. There's no telling how high they'll get.
Ba-dum-ching.
Caitlin, whoa, that spear just made an angel lose its wings. And
go Roman.
And Tommy Dreamer, my daughter ran at me and jumped in my arms. I yelled double A spinebuster, hit a perfect one on the bed, and she yelled sissy, try a spike mustard. There you go. Tweets for me. What about you?
Well, let's see. CM Punk. Just Googled confessional booth for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And Petey Williams. Things I've learned today. Don't try and film a Vine with the cops.
Okay.
Let's see. We have quite a few
tweets from
Kane Kittens.
I'll run through.
I've got one from Jersey Girl.
All right, I'll run through the ones in the chat room. Post them in the chat room. That way it's easier for us to get into. We'll get to you in a minute, special guest. Just hold on.
Yes, he has a special guest.
Yes. Kinkins puts out the Caitlin one. I miss Cody's mustache. Does anyone know if he's selling it on eBay? Hashtag asking for a friend. Caitlin, Dolph and the Shield in a 301 handicap match. Is there enough baby oil backstage? For the love of it, someone get more baby oil. Okay, now let me ask you a question, Kinkins. One, you're talking about a dude's mustache, and now baby oil with guys. Something's wrong with you.
And he likes a certain part of Christian's anatomy. I'm starting to question you, Kane Kittens.
We're just starting to question you just a little bit.
Hey, you know what? You give us the material, we're going to go for it.
You know.
Just pointing that out.
Anyway, you want to continue?
Let's see. Hey, King Kittens, bend over and we will.
I won't, but...
Yeah. Scott M. Fishman, and stop posting stuff because you're making the chat go up. Scott M. Fishman!
You lost it, didn't you?
Yeah, I have to go find it again.
Ben Affleck is playing Batman in the Man of Steel sequel. Well, that movie just went from being awesome to sucking.
Thank you.
Will
Wheaton. And finally, Phil Wheaton.
Go ahead.
Got it now. Really looking forward to seeing Affleck bringing the depth and gravitas to Batman that he brought to Daredevil in Geely.
Acer chimes in from Biggie Lex, and for the record, it's access with only two X's. I made a mistake once, and I did a Google search once. Fortunately, I was over 10. Or, yeah, no, 18.
Over 18.
Over 18, yeah. the zero in my chat looks like an eight. The eight in my chat looks like a zero. I may not have a million followers or anything of value to say. That's it. And he continues from AJ Lee. Every time I wear my hair up and my ears show, I immediately question if my real father is some sort of woodland creature.
And let's see, that was Jersey Girls, so sorry.
Well, there you go. H puts out one more. That was if you put out one for the CM Punk, and it's the same tweet for AJ. Anyway, our special guest has some tweets. Special guest, would you like to read your tweets, Steve from Kansas?
The goddamn on them Twitter machines.
You finally got a Twitter machine down in Kansas?
I got that for them fire, the fire breathing ones. The Bubba Ray got.
The Bubba Ray? Okay.
Ooh.
Except it don't have fire, it's just a bunch of ashes. I went for the low end version. But basically, I got the one of the CM Punks.
Okay.
If you're joining us, we're talking Batman. Shove your birthday bags and retweet crap up your butt. Contribute or get blocked. I like this man's thinking. And many people are experiencing a strange sense of Batman-related shot and fraud right now. But then again, Ben Affleck might not be the Batman we want, but he's the Batman we deserve. The Batman jokes.
Oh, punk. Why?
By the way, this just in, after speaking to Tim Stein, Sunday night, we will be talking Batman on the show. Just pointing it out.
I'm so happy I'm not on that show.
Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, we're talking Batman. You've been warned. Anything else, Steve?
No, I got nothing. It just go in to do the tweets. They tweet or Twitters or twats. Tweets, what they call them now?
Wait, the
maybe
what?
Maybe I get on the Instagrams and I get the ham hock and gravy on there.
You know,
there
if,
you go.
You know, if you post out selfies on Instagram, your likes will go up.
Dude, you should totally do your twin magic.
Yeah, if you show off your twin magic on Instagram, your likes will go up. Hashtag sneak preview for what we're talking about in the Rack Extra tomorrow afternoon, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
So just got a question for you, Steve.
Yeah?
Is your Aussie friend there?
The Australian? Hold on, I just go game.
By the way, to correct Acer's tweet, imagine if when he cocks it all up, he'll be responsible for two worst depictions of two separate superheroes. Hashtag, why are you such ignorant? So there you go.
Did nobody see Daredevil?
Shh.
No. Daredevil never happened, dude.
I don't know what you're talking
neither
about.
Neither did...
some people would like to believe
Elektra.
That. Not.
But anyway, as I mentioned, I talked to Tim because he sent me... Ben Affleck is Batman? ! Yeah, we're talking about it.
I copped that from Tim. I copped that from Kane Kittens. I turned around and I said to Omega, why? And he's gone, hold on, podcasting rage later.
So again, okay. You can hear it all Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, by the sound of it.
It's one of the three things in the format at this point. We're here to talk about WWE 2K14, though, Mace.
Yes, but very quickly, in relation to tweets, if you're a fan of Gabriel Iglesias, dude is drunk tweeting right now.
That's
this could
always
be some funny shit.
It's always worth it when people get on Twitter drunk. So, Lindsay,
hell yeah.
WWE 2K14.
That's right. Some huge news came out about the game this past week. We had the at least part of the roster reveal, which is leading to some questions that we'll get into, where they revealed the WrestleMania side of the roster, because this year's game tie-in is the 30 years of WrestleMania. They announced that we will be getting 45 matches from the past 29 WrestleManias. We've got an all-star roster to be featured in this mode.
Yes, and we're going to go through the roster one by one and give our opinions on each of them.
This might take a while.
This is going to take a while, so you've been warned. They did the whole live stream from Access, and if you haven't seen that version of it, Damian Tan is awesome, and we cannot compare to his comments. But we will try. We'll try our best. So on this, you get 45 of the greatest matches, and as you hear the names, you'll kind of figure out what matches are actually on the show. Or in the game, rather. First up, Alberto Del Rio. Everyone kind of expects him to be in the game. I don't know what great WrestleMania match he had, but he's had one, supposedly.
It'll probably be him versus Edge.
There you go.
In Edge's retirement match, that'll probably be what it is.
I didn't think about that one, but that's probably it. The next one, Andre the Giant.
Gee, I wonder what match they're going to pull him from.
WrestleMania 1.
No.
Body Slam Challenge.
Yeah, that too. Because we'll get to the other name. And what they dropped in the... Was it the Symposium? Or in one of the features. One of the videos they showed over the weekend.
Probably in the latest trailer.
No. What the news is that it's going to look like it did back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to...
Look at the trailer, dude.
Yeah, but...
The latest trailer.
They said that in the Symposium.
So there's footage from it.
Right, I understand that, but I knew they dropped the information in one of their things.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can see the trailer. It's on the Facebook page, and yeah, it's kind of awesome. You got Andre the Giant, a name not hasn't been put out there, but it's on their website currently, and I think they've showed pictures of it. Antonio Cesaro is in the game on the current day roster, not the mode, but he's in the current day roster. So it's cool. Cesaro's in the game.
Weed the people.
Officially, not like a downloadable guy like last year. A name that surprised many, the Animal Batista, is in the game.
I'm trying to remember what WrestleMania did he have any decent part in.
Well, you could
Taker.
Taker, Cena.
Edge.
Okay.
There's three things right there. Right off the top of the
head. So nothing overly memorable, he's just being fodder. Alright.
And, you know... Being involved with the Evolution tag team gimmick from WrestleMania 20, possibly. You never know. You get current day Big Show in the game, but you also get retro Big Show with the hair. Not long hair, short hair.
That's weird. That's weird.
It's because you're so used to seeing him without the hair, to put hair on him, it just doesn't look right to you.
Yeah, he has hair on the top of his head, not on his face. That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
See, I really need to get you watching a lot more, like, old-school WCW stuff, Lindsay, because you can see him when he was, like, you know, 20, 21 years old, had the long hair.
And could do a dropkick from the top rope.
Yeah.
I remember. Had the long hair when he came into WWE. I remember the long hair, but I haven't seen him with the blonde hair.
Right.
And yes, you need to get me watching more old school WCW just because it is funny. Some of it.
Yeah, so retro Big Show. I was trying to figure out, I guess, WrestleMania 16?
Yeah, there was... 16 was the McMahon and Eric Cornerman match, yeah, the 4-way.
Yeah, so I think that's where he's going to tie in for that one, I would think. Unless there's something we don't know. Big John Studd.
But our memories don't work out.
Big John Studd, which was a... we talked about this on Saturday with Subway, and he heard Big John Studd. I was like, wow, he's in...
Well, this is the thing. Like, I was discussing with a friend of mine, Nick, who's my friend in Japan. Mm-hmm. He's a big wrestling fan as well. I gave him all the WrestleManias to go through on his trip back to Japan. Mm-hmm. We were discussing what matches to go through, and we had trouble picking WrestleMania 1.
Remember when we were doing the riffs, we had a hard time with the pick for WrestleMania 1?
Yeah, and what I ended up suggesting was, because of the lineup, I figured Big John Studd versus Andre the Giant in the Body Slam Challenge. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly enough, by the looks of it, that's the route they're going. Because you can't have your main event, because that requires Mr. T, who's not...
in the game.
...socked on.
Right. And we mentioned Andre the Giant, and you know, besides the WrestleMania 1 match, he's going to be in the WrestleMania 3 match with Hulk Hogan, who's in the game, and we'll run his name down in a minute. But there was when you see the trailer, there was an interesting guy who was at ringside for Andre the Giant, and actually on the little cart.
Hallelujah!
And they had the cart.
Yes.
Hallelujah!
The one and only Bobby the Brain Heenan is in the video game as a manager.
Voted the greatest manager of all time by WTR.
Mm-hmm. So yes, Bobby the Brain Heenan is in the game along with Big John Studd. That's kind of cool.
Oh, please let them pull some of the old Heenan promos.
That would be fantastic. The one named Tim Stein has been waiting for, Bret the Hitman Hart, is in the video game.
Bret the Hitman Hart was in the video game last year, wasn't he?
And the year before that.
The year before that.
But Bret Hart's in the game. It's cool. Bret Hart's in the game and probably get...
13. Austin and Bret in the submission match.
And we're getting WrestleMania 12, Bret versus Shawn.
Yeah, confirmed in the latest trailer due to Shawn's entrance.
Yeah, Shawn does the entire entrance. Current day Brock Lesnar's in the video game. And so is old school Brock Lesnar, the retro style, so that's WrestleMania 20 Part 1. Right there.
I don't know. No, I kind of want the face plant moonsault.
Well, you're missing.
I want that moment.
You want the moment, but the other guy is missing from it.
Yeah,
that was
one of the biggest issues. Was like as like a bit of a spoiler here, but no Eddie, no Kurt, and you're like that actually kills some really really good matches. Like the 2 out of 3 for the Euro and Intercontinental belts. Or
yeah.
Am I thinking on pay-per-view?
You might be thinking there was one where they did for the 2 out of 3 falls. That was 16.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm okay with Eddie Guerrero not being in the game because he's been in every video game for the past 6 years, so it's a different twist to it. Means when he's back in the game, it's a big deal.
Well, we don't know also if Eddie's going to go on the main roster. We don't know if Eddie's going to be an unlockable.
Right.
We don't know if he's going to be DLC. I mean, they just announced the roster that they want us to know about. I mean, they could be holding some stuff back.
Right. These are the guys in the mode.
They're definitely holding stuff back. They're holding back a lot of the current day guys at the moment.
Right.
But they have said that this is the confirmed... guys that will be in that 30 years of WrestleMania.
Doesn't mean they can't add legends, that was her point.
Yeah. Oh, they always do. They always have a legends add-on pack, a current day add-on pack, and a sort of a catch-up
right.
pack. They're three usuals, so.
We have current day Chris Jericho with light bright jacket, and we have not so matching color jacket and pants Chris Jericho, the retro Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I would like to point out, I didn't make that comment. Damian Sandow did. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Retro Jericho. So, Triple H versus Jericho at WrestleMania 17.
No.
Or 18.
No.
18, sorry.
That might be one I was also thinking, Shawn and Jericho from 19.
They can do both.
Current day CM Punk.
Yay! So we've got a number of options for Punk.
Current day Daniel Bryan.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Yes! Yes!
Makes you wonder.
Complete with that in the entrance, too, with the sound clip.
Yeah, he actually...
Oh, yes.
He has the sound clip in it. Person,
I just hope they have the alternate version where there's the no entrance with the sound clip as well.
Right. By the way, Daniel Bryan is not in the 30 years mode. Just clarifying that.
I was going to say, there's only one WrestleMania match you can use for Bryan, and it's you blink and you miss it.
Right. He's just a part of the roster that they announced. Speaking of just roster, they announced Darren Young is officially in the video game for the very first time.
Riding off the wave of current news.
Current news, but yeah. Well, one cool name in the game is Big Daddy Cool Diesel is in the video game with mullet.
Yeah, old school man.
1994 Diesel, Lindsay. Mullet.
Oh, I know. I know. I saw it. And the one thing that I have to say so far, just in the graphics quality of this, the graphics in this game look way sweeter than they were in 13.
Especially for the hair.
Yeah, they did a really, really, really good job on the modeling this year. At least everybody that we saw looked like they were supposed to. And the hair actually kind of looks like hair. It actually moves like hair.
Right. Not in 30 years, but in the game, Dolph Ziggler.
Yay!
We get the rated R superstar Edge. And he's in WrestleMania 21.
Was that WrestleMania 21 or 22?
Has it really been that long since that match?
Yes.
Okay. And the shocking name of them all so far, Goldberg.
Yeah, the
so there's WrestleMania 20. Right there.
There's your WrestleMania 20 match right there. Goldberg is in the video game. And that left
first time he has been in a WWE video game since Here Comes the Pain, which I believe was 2005, if memory serves.
Sounds about right. Will the match come with You Sold Out chance? Well, they're trying to recreating moments. Probably,
oh,
yes.
Please, You Sold Out chance. Na-na-na-nas. I'd absolutely love a fuck you, Brock, fuck you, Goldberg.
Or, you know, screw you, Brock, or whatever.
Screw because we'll have to keep a PG.
And then we have Hulk Hogan and Hollywood Hulk Hogan are in the video game. That's cool.
Sort of hard to make a 30 years of WrestleMania mode without the old school red and yellow Hulk Hogan.
It really is, and it's going to be kind of hard not to have WrestleMania 30 without him, because he kind of should be there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But we're going to get WrestleMania 18 for Hollywood Hogan, and, you know, WrestleMania 3 for Red and Yellow Hogan, and probably a couple of others.
WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 4, WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania 6, 7.
Well, to be fair, they're only doing 45 matches, and 29 of those are from each year, so...
Right, so yeah, Hogan has to be involved in
I'm
it.
Expecting a lot of Hogan and Undertaker matches in this, to be honest.
I don't think a lot of Taker, because... I only see a couple Taker opponents in this one. But we'll get through that. We'll get there. JBL is in the game, which I thought is awesome because the limo is not actually on the stage this year.
They figured out how to get the cars off the stage.
Like, that was like the biggest complaint ever. It's like, oh, cars come on the stage. Okay. Awkward. But yeah, JBL is in the video game. John Cena Current Day is in the video game, along with Retro John Cena is in the video game.
20.
Mm-hmm.
This is Big Show.
We get Retro Kane in the video game.
Which means we're getting 14, baby!
But just so everybody doesn't panic, it's pretty much a given that you'll get Current Day Kane as well later.
Yeah.
Just so, because a lot of people have been panicked, like, oh my god, it's only one version, it's the old school Kane on it only. Where's the latest one? Well,
wait,
you realize I haven't announced the whole roster yet, right?
Right. So you get Retro Kane, and I would think, but they haven't done the videos, I would think Paul Bearer is in this video game.
We'll have to see. He probably is.
Just call it, well, just they, call it well, a
they,
hunch.
They had his character model in last year, so it wouldn't be hard to sort of update that.
Just call it a hunch.
Seeing as I'm just going to spoil it now, when they have the retro Undertaker in this,
yeah,
where he's in the purple and black, they're going to have Bearer.
Yeah.
Because Bearer was managing him in that gimmick.
Right. King Kong Bundy is in the video game.
This is where I have a complaint. I know people hate me being negative, but my complaint is actually warranted in this one. Where are the midgets? There can't be a King Kong Bundy match without the midgets.
He may have them.
I hope so, because I really want to play as King Kong Bundy and squash midgets.
King Kong Bundy, huge surprise that he's in the video game. Again, another name you don't hear about in a video game.
Very true. Just trying to strain my wrestling knowledge. Even in Legends of Wrestling and Superstars of Wrestling, I don't think Bundy appeared in either of those type of games either. So this, if I'm correct, is Bundy's first time in a WWE or even a wrestling game outside of the Fire Pro G series.
Quite possibly. We get Mick Foley in the video game.
Woo-hoo.
Not Mankind, not Dude Love, not Cactus Jack. We get Mick Foley, and that sets up his matchup with
DLC. Edge. DLC. DLC.
So we get Mick Foley and his big match with Edge from WrestleMania 22, 23, something along those lines.
With the flaming table. Complete with the flaming table.
Complete with flaming table is involved in this one. And because of all that, Omega's favorite, Lita, is in the video game.
Oh, we'll just wait for the jokes to follow.
Macho Man Randy Savage is in the video game.
Again, like Hogan, sort of hard to have early WrestleManias without him in it.
And the coolest...
Which means...
Go ahead, Lindsay.
I don't know if you were going to say it, but it got announced today, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is also in the game, so we know what match we're getting.
No, we're going to get to Ricky, but in this mode, because of Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, the coolest thing to come out of it is Elizabeth is in the video game.
I know.
My God, is it out. It is probably one of the best representations that they could have done of her.
Mm-hmm. She looked really good in the trailer.
As I said, the modeling that they've done this year for the game is outstanding. It's way better than last year's, and way better than previous years.
The legend killer himself, Randy Orton, is in the video game. And the crowd went excited when WWE 2K people on the Friday show went, Rey Mysterio's in the video game.
Yay.
Yay.
Razor Ramon is in the video game.
Hell yeah, WrestleMania 10, baby!
He looks good as well.
He looks really good in the game. Razor Ramon is in the game. You get WrestleMania 10 in the game. You get referees with the bow ties in the video game because of all that, which is awesome.
Era-specific referees, that mm-hmm. is awesome. Mind you, the sort of the big crowd reaction during the reveal was, as soon as they said Razor Ramon and JR's gone, a guy that's making a comeback in a video game and in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that, you know, Scott's recovery is well watched over by people in the know. Which is awesome.
It is. And then we have the living peacock himself, Ric Flair. Thank you, Damien Sandow.
Yes, thank you, Sandow.
The peacock and the Christmas tree. Let's not forget the Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Christmas tree was for modern-day Ric Flair. The peacock was for the retro Ric Flair.
So we get both. Ric Flair, old school and new school, are in the video game. As Lindsay mentioned, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is in the video game.
Oh yeah, get to replay the WrestleMania 3 True Stealer.
For current gen roster, Ryback is in the video game. And I will say this, he looks a lot better than he did last year.
I've got a feeling that's because they rushed the Ryback model last year.
Oh, they did say that, because they found out, you know, around WrestleMania last year that they had to put him in the game and didn't have time.
Yeah.
So that's what they're basing everything off of. But this year you get the real, what the hell's his finisher called?
The dumb thing.
The thing. I can't even remember his finisher. I should know this. I can't remember it. Anyone?
Is this Shell Shock?
Shell Shock.
Yeah,
there you
Shell
go.
Shock.
Yeah.
Shell Shock. They have the real Shell Shock. And one of the Oh My God moves is the double Shell Shock.
He also gets what is a part of their new lift ability as well with that one.
Yes, we'll get into that here in a bit. Sergeant Slaughter is in the video game. Iraqi version Sergeant Slaughter is in the
hell movie. Yes. I'm a fan of Slaughter. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's great that he really is the great American hero version that we see every other time. But how many times have people wanted this heel Sergeant Slaughter?
When I saw that version come out, that was fantastic.
With the flag and everything. Oh my God, it was awesome.
We get Shawn Michaels in the video game from WrestleMania 1920 era. In the video game. We're gonna get new school Shawn Michaels, but that hasn't been announced. But we're also getting retro Shawn Michaels in the video game.
Mullet. Hopefully that means... So, obviously, we're getting 12. We're getting the Boyhood Dream.
We're getting 10.
We're getting 10. We're probably getting 14.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for either... what are we up to? One of the ones against The Undertaker. Preferably the one where they did the contrast. Where it was Michaels coming down.
24...
25. That one I'd love
know.
To see replicated. Just so we have a Shawn in that costume.
Right.
Well, out of the two matches between him and Taker at Mania, the first one was the better one.
Yeah.
Very true. Second one was a bit more theatrical, though, which would be awesome to see on in the game, though.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is in the video game.
Bit hard to have the 90s without him.
Mm-hmm. Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase is in the video game. Current go ahead.
Everybody has a price, and well, we obviously know DiBiase's.
Which means breathe.
What?
Not because.
DiBiase, though. Does that mean we're getting four? It's a tournament?
Possibly, maybe. Question is.
Because that was the only way I could sort of plug him in was the tournament from WrestleMania 4. Well,
question is, do we get Virgil at some point?
No.
As his manager? No? No?
No, no. Even though it'd be really cheap to get him in.
Current Day Rock and Retro Rock are in the video game. Which means we're going to get at least one Stone Cold Rock in the game.
Yeah, 19. Possibly.
The Miz is in the video game, which means we're getting WrestleMania 27.
Yay! I love you. Just because I was there, you know. Just breathe, Rock. Just breathe. Just keep reading. Just breathe.
Yeah. And yes, Mace. A little bit, from time to time. Triple H is in the video game. Retro Triple H is in the video game.
This is where I'm kind of hoping that since they have both versions of Triple H that we get the Hell in the Cell match.
Oh, we are getting the Hell in the Cell match. We are getting Hell in the Cell match because they've shown clips in the trailer of it. All three of them, Shawn as the ref, is in the game as well for that match. They do a whole big dramatic thing with it.
I know I have a little bit of an issue with doubling and tripling up of characters, as I've made well aware on the Facebook page. This was probably one of the only situations where I wouldn't have minded three Triple H's, so you could have Hunter Hearst Helmsley return, so we could do the squash match from 11.
Right.
I could see that. And they might make him DLC or unlockable.
True.
Ultimate Warrior is in the video game as a pre-order DLC.
Yeah, that one's weird. It's like he's pre-order DLC, but they'll probably have his WrestleMania 6 match in there anyway.
It's in there as well, yeah. I think. Because they've highlighted him in the thing.
They did highlight it in the trailer. I remember that much.
Yeah. Undertaker current. Undertaker retro are in the video game, along with American Badass as DLC.
Squeak.
Go ahead, Lindsay. Talk about it.
What do you want me to say? Then they did a really nice job on him. He looks really good. Way better than he did last year. Still hate the new hair.
But this time she gets two versions with hair. And what?
Yeah, I get the... They did a really nice job from what I've seen on the American Badass Undertaker. And they did a really, really... It's an okay job on the hair for the purple and black, but they did a wonderful job on the costume and on actually sculpting him, as opposed to, you know, like, using the same model throughout, which they probably used for the face, but they actually, you know, like, I'm kind of hoping they changed all the tattoos and everything, so that way I'm not sure where he was in the progression of his tattoos at that point, where he was in the purple and black. But I'm kind of hoping that they follow the progression of the tattoos, too, where maybe if he doesn't have them all, he doesn't have them all there. Because there was at some point in his career where he didn't have them all yet.
Right.
So, but yeah, they did a really nice job on him, and he looks good despite the bad hair.
And one awesome one at the end. Yokozuna is in the video game.
Which is awesome.
I kind of popped for that one. Yokozuna in the video? Awesome.
Do we get his manager?
I would say...
Get Fuji-san.
I would say we get Fuji.
Hell yeah!
We do get Fuji. Probably WrestleMania 9, him and Brett. Maybe. Maybe 8 and 9. Who knows? But at least one of them.
10?
No, because you can't really do 10, because 10 featured Luke... He fought Luger in the first part, and you also had Owen Hart at 10. You could do Brett and Yoko, I guess, maybe, but I don't know.
Sort of alter history a tiny bit for that one, though.
Yeah, you'd be altering history, and you got enough where you don't need to.
Yeah.
So that's the roster as it stands now. The current day roster will be announced in the forthcoming days and weeks ahead, as they've been slowly leaking people from time to time.
But this is an exciting prospect. I mean, just to think of what we could get with this mode and what we could see, and one of the things that they talked about, I believe it was either at the symposium or it was at the announcement. I think it was actually Brian Williams and the guy who's the head of marketing. I'm sorry, I forgot his name.
Aubrey Sitterson,
thank you. That they were talking about how this gives them the opportunity to once again go back and do the history of the WWE, particularly the history of WrestleMania, like they did with the Attitude Era. And they really hit the nail on the head, especially for someone like me, where it's like people who didn't necessarily get to see everything now can go back and they can see that, and they've been given access again to the archives of WWE. So we're going to get those clip shots again. We're going to get those videos again that we got with the Attitude Era. And it's really something wonderful, and it's an incentive to buy the game, if nothing else, just to get that information and watch it, where you can see those matches and the history and understand how not only WrestleMania, but the WWE has evolved from WrestleMania 1 all the way to 29, and see that change in the company and in the talent and that kind of thing. And that's really cool. And at least from my end, it's really appreciated that they're doing that.
I like it. I like how they're going to, as I mentioned earlier, I like how they're going to go from era to era, how the camera style is. Because that, you know, you could. When Mace was watching the first part of it, we were talking, and it's like, it looked really weird to see Macho Man in current day, you know, arena.
Yeah.
So by
current day Raw set with Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage, yeah. just wrong.
Just very, very wrong. And it, when you're able to go back and set up the arena like it is back in the day, the grainier footage, it's kind of I like that idea. It kind of adds an extra little element to it.
I'm currently looking at some screenshots from it, and as I sort of go through it, I'll even link you guys.
They're on the WWE2K.com website, yeah. I believe.
Like the newer stuff, the newer age stuff is very clean, very polished. It's like you're watching HD television. You go back, and they've got pictures of Andre and Hogan, and it's very grainy. It looks like it's taken off old film stock that's been weathered a bit.
Right, they go back and they adjust the way that it's done. It's like, that's awesome.
That's the authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Sorry, I just stole your line.
It's okay. But it adds that sense of reality that you're not playing a video game, you're not watching a video game, you're watching the archive footage, and so when you do those clip scenes to the archive, it matches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a less harsh transition into, because it's like if you've got this, you know, really crisp, clear, HD quality image, and then you cut over to the grainier, older image, it's going to look like crap. So I think they're trying to make the footage look as good as they can, and, you know, to match the footage in appearance and probably sound as well is going to be kind of cool.
I agree. yeah, I like it. I really do. I like how the presentation is going to be, and all that fun stuff. The lift mode, Mace. Let's talk about that, because one of the things they added to it was last year were the catch finishers, where you came off the top rope and you were able to hit a finishing move if your character could do it. You catch them, you know, there's a super kick, or you can catch them, like if you're an Undertaker, catch Punk, or anyone coming off the top rope and do a tombstone. Punk would catch you, and you can do the GTS on somebody, that sort of thing. This year, they've invented the lift button. And basically, you can send your opponent into the ropes and lift them up into the air and catch them into a finish. You can do a super kick with Shawn Michaels. Basically, I think anyone can, you know, do it, because we clearly saw you can lift someone up and do Daniel Bryan's move, the S-lock, into it as well.
Yeah, that's probably the only time I'm sort of sitting there going, okay, suspension of disbelief, because going into like an armbar from mid-air just really looked really bad. I'm guessing that's probably an incomplete animation.
Probably.
At this stage. But other than that, like seeing you know, bigger guys like, say, Ryback catching a guy in midair and actually going from the sort of pick up for the fall away slam type thing and throwing him over the head onto the shoulders, then doing the move. It adds that level of authenticity to those power type guys.
Right. And you know, and you know where the lift function comes in handy, Lindsay? Antonio Cesaro.
Oh, that uppercut's going to be wicked.
Yeah, hope, I'm praying, and I know I said this to Rock when I was watching the early parts, the reveals and stuff. I hope they get a really, really good sound effect for that, for the uppercuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's one thing that really sells a European uppercut, it's the sound that it makes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what other move it's going to hit is when the super kick from midair.
Mm-hmm.
Where you catch them with a super kick as they're coming down. That will, if they do that, that'll be cool too.
But with this whole lift maneuver, how much more awesome does the idea of the F5 sound? Because how many times have we seen Brock catch a guy, just throw him onto his shoulders like he's a bag of wheat and then drop him?
Oh, I know.
That's going to work good for him. It's going to work good for Cena for that. Yeah, there's
Punk.
There's Punk.
I'm if you say Taker.
The animation will be interesting on how to do that for Taker.
Yeah.
Well, for Taker's chokeslam too.
Yes, also the chokeslam.
Chokeslam could work, but there's a lot of interesting things.
I want a tombstone into a tombstone reversal though.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
That's reverse. The only thing that they haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find it. Twitter, because I have one other piece of breaking news kind of about the game, if I can pull it up. Because this is where I'm searching Twitter, see if it's actually on Twitter. Because I was going to play the audio of it. But apparently I can't find it on the Twitter, because I guess it was announced the other day. It's stupid. Dude doesn't have it on his Twitter right now. Michael Cole is the voice of the video game. He announced it on the top of a mountain, or halfway up a mountain, that he's the voice of the video game.
But at least for the WrestleMania mode, we get King and JR.
Right. But Michael Cole gets, as he said in his video clip, he gets to call all of JBL's matches. Which is, I thought was funny. So, yeah.
But basically, this is probably the logical progression for the Attitude Era mode that they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one thing I know you and I and even Lindsay said while we're doing the playthrough stuff. How would they top Attitude Era mode? And to be honest, this is probably the only way they could do it.
Oh yeah. And that's what you want. You want something cool like this. And, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what kind of matches we get. And I'm kind of, just by the trailer has me sold because you get to reenact so many cool moments, cool memories from the video game. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I'm excited just to see it from the history standpoint, but I'm a dork like that, so.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I like the history.
I'm also curious to see...
History buffs are going to get a ton out of this, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Totally. And I'm also curious to kind of see what kind of extras we get in this, because they've done such a good job in the history of WrestleMania that I'm really excited to see what they do for just the regular mode and what little touches they put in, because it seems that since Brian Williams and his team have taken over the WWE franchise, they've made it a point to really listen to the fans and really put things in that the fans want to see. Like last year, we got Big Blue.
We got Big Blue, yes. Oh, that reminds me of other things they showed us in the first reveal. The new OMG moments in the video game, Mace. We get the punt to the head. The punt to the head. By, you know, the kick to the head on the ring post. which looked devastating. And it's like, wow, that's a devastating move. And then...
then there was the, holy shit, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that DDT on the side of the ring. We're wondering if somebody we know or somebody Lindsay knows actually was the one taking that move or doing the move.
Hmm, I wonder, maybe.
Maybe, possibly, who knows. But that, and it took 7 tries to get that done perfectly.
Whoever took it, I pity the poor bastard.
I pity the fool who had to do that move 7 times.
On behalf of the WWE Universe, we thank you, whoever you are.
Exactly. But yeah, that DDT spot looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it seems like they, each year in each incarnation, they try to do more and they try to improve it with every incarnation. We don't seem to get... We get the status quo, but we get more than the status quo each year, and it seems like they're trying to really make an effort to make the game different every year and give us something bigger and better every year.
Right.
And I know Mace, you said it, you know, it's... We don't think Taker Streak is going to be involved, and I know you wanted to see Taker Streak, and I would love to see Taker Streak in there as well as the WrestleMania tie-in, but I'm kind of wondering also if, you know, they're waiting for Taker to be done, and then maybe they do a mode just for Taker Streak at some point down the line, too.
Yeah, well, they did do an Undertaker-style mode in WWE All-Stars. Yeah, just missed opportunity.
There you go.
I would have liked to have seen it.
Doesn't mean it won't happen in a future game.
Indeed. You know, I had a lot of reservations going into this. The roster reveal and the WrestleMania stuff has sort of put those fears to rest slightly. I've still got the Undertaker edition pre-ordered because Lindsay wants the case.
And, you know, when you wipe the DNA off the autograph card?
Yeah.
And put it in the baggie for me?
Yeah, which is going to be fun. Trying to get that through customs.
That will be amazing. I can't wait. But yeah, it's... I'm really eager to see the full roster get announced, which hopefully we'll be getting that in the next few weeks. And also, just the little hidden features of the game that we don't necessarily know about. And I'm kind of hoping, and I'm crossing my fingers... that maybe we can convince Brian Williams to come back and talk to us again about 2K14 when he's making the rounds.
I think that might be a good possibility.
You know, so we can pick his brain again for 45 minutes, which would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's WWE 2K14 in a nutshell.
It is. So now, I don't know, Mace, if you want to stick around... we're going to talk really, really quickly about SummerSlam because we're coming right up against it. So maybe just our question of the night, as always, was what was your favorite match from SummerSlam? So why don't we give our favorite matches and then maybe we hit our highs and our lows for SummerSlam?
I think the general consensus coming out of SummerSlam, the favorite match was Brock Lesnar, CM Punk.
I can see that. It was a really good match.
That was the general consensus, even though John Cena and Daniel Bryan had a really good match as well. Those are my highs. Those are my matches, you know, favorite matches of the show. What about you?
Which you?
You, Lindsay.
Oh. Punk and Brock is up there. I actually had to go back and watch a couple matches the next day just because, one, I didn't really remember them, and two, I really wanted to rewatch them just to see them. And one of them was actually the Ring of Fire match. And this was the match I was really excited for. It was one of the reasons I bought the pay-per-view. And I was initially disappointed with the match just based on with everything that happened. And then I actually had to go back and watch it again. And the match itself was actually fairly decent. We were complaining about kind of the pace of the match, but it's understandable given the fact that they're, you know, in a ring surrounded by fire and it's sucking up all the oxygen, and Lord only knows how hot it was at ringside.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually put on a pretty decent match. I think what kind of killed it for a lot of people was the crowd's reaction when the Wyatts got in the ring and when they attacked Kane, because the crowd just, like, died when that happened, and especially when Bray Wyatt picked up the win, and I think everybody realized that we were not going to see somebody get set on fire.
Right.
I think that's just, that's when the crowd died, and they never really got them back, especially when they did the absolutely fantastic write-off of Kane afterwards, where they did the guillotine spot with the steel steps in front of Bray Wyatt, and then the Wyatts drag Kane off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really, that segment alone was, or that spot alone was really cool. So that was kind of my in-between. I don't really have a low.
There really wasn't a low point in the show, really. Not that I can remember, anyhow, a few days later.
I mean, I would have to say the low would ultimately be the, as much as I hate to say it, like, the mixed tag match.
Mm-hmm. But that was the spot they were given, so, you know.
That was the spot they were given, but I think I would also say that Del Rio and Christian, just because it was a good match, it wasn't bad, it was just, it could have been, there could have been more done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. And, you know, obviously my high is CM Punk and Brock, Cena and Bryan, and then I'm actually going to give RVD and Dean props. They had a fantastic match to kick off the show.
Yeah, they really did, because I didn't get to talk about Sunday because I didn't see it. It was a really, really, really good match. On the pre-show, it was a nice start to the show. It was a hot start to the show, and the finish, that spear from Roman Reigns, he can kill anybody with a spear.
Yeah, Roman's spear is just really kind of sick, and it gets more violent every time he does it. Like the one he gave to Dolph Ziggler on Monday, oh my god. But I'm actually going to say my high and my favorite match was the pre-show match, just because it set the tone for the rest of the show, and it was pretty much Dean and RVD going out there and saying, all right, follow this.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on a really, really, really good match. So that's my favorite. What about you, Mace?
Well, most definitely my favorite match would be Punk and Lesnar. That was absolutely brutal and intense, and I loved every minute of it. Outside of the post-celebration ending, I will actually admit I actually enjoyed a John Cena match. I know, shock horror.
Mark tape.
But then again, I did predict that I would probably enjoy this, because both men would actually be able to put on a decent show together. Pre-show, loved it. Hate the fact that it was a pre-show, deserved to be on pay-per-view. The only downside I really had is I don't think the Ring of Fire match really lived up to expectations. And so that the crowd during the Divas match, you know, the Natalya and Brie match, they really sucked that match down because of the way they were disrespecting it. And that sort of ended up being a low point for me just because the crowd ruined that.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with that. So, all right. Well, that is our really quick SummerSlam recap. If you want to hear the full SummerSlam recap, tune into Wrestle Talk Radio's archive from this past Sunday, where Mace, Tim, Rock, Omega, and I all reviewed the show. We all talked about it, gave our initial thoughts, reactions, and opinions based on what we had just seen. So check that out. It's in the archives at wildtalkradio.com. So on that note, we're going to start to wrap up. And before we go, Rock has a rant.
I have a rant, and it's about liars.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And it's been a long time coming, and it's been happening over the course of the last day or so. All this stuff has come out about liars. It's going to be my true, honest opinion about liars. Ryan Braun, you're the fucking biggest liar in the fucking world. You come out and start talking, oh, I didn't take steroids. I didn't take steroids and deny it for a goddamn year. And now, all of a sudden, you decide, well, I'm going to admit it after I get suspended. I'm going to finally admit it. I'm not going to go and continue to lie. I'm going to finally admit it after you had the chance and you wouldn't have been suspended a year ago. But this time, you did it. You finally admitted to doing the steroids when you could have a long time ago and saved, you know, everyone all this aggravation. You won an MVP because you lied. Great. And now, then, you didn't have the balls to do it to the media. You didn't have to do it in front of a camera. You sent a letter to Bud Selig. That's it. That's all you did. You didn't come out and man up to it. You sent a letter. That's ridiculous, Ryan Braun. You should be ashamed of yourself, and I hope you never play baseball again. But sadly, you will, and you'll make $60 million more because you lied. Great. You're one of the reasons why, you know, people look down on baseball. You should be ashamed of yourself. And that's where I went, Lindsay. I didn't go where you thought I was going with that. I set you up.
Screw you. You still went off.
Fire Russo.
I did go off, so yeah, there you go. And by the way, liars? Yeah. Well, there's so much about liars. But this is...
All I can say to add on to yours is karma is a bitch and it catches up to everybody in the end.
Oh, and we have more to tell you after we get off the air.
Yeah.
This is why I started part of the recap of WWE 2K14. I started breathing and slowing down. So anyway, that being said...
A-Rod is going to require a whole separate rant for a whole separate show. I mean, we may just have to do a segment where we rant on A-Rod, because,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this about A-Rod. I love that he got thrown out on Sunday. That was tremendous. That guy deserves a round of applause for doing so.
Actually, if anybody deserves to take a baseball to the jaw, it's A-Rod, not Jason Hayward. Just saying.
So there you go.
So there we go. So on that note, Mace, do you have a rant?
I do, but we're saving it for Sunday.
Okay. So I don't have a rant. I'm good. I've been in a good mood all day. So for that, then we are going to wrap everything up, and I'm going to let Mace and Rock plug their stuff. So Mace, plug your stuff.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at TheMaceThing. I'm currently in the middle of sort of writing up this first part of an idea that Lindsay gave me the other day, where I sort of chronicle my return to the ring, but it's not going to be like an everyday type thing. It's just sort of giving an overview over in a couple of months. Got video game stuff coming up soon. I've really got games here I should be reviewing right now, actually, but meh. But other than that, catch me Sunday nights on that show. What show is it, Rock?
Russell Talk Radio, Sundays 10 p.m. Eastern, but we'll get there. For those listening, if you want to be a part of fantasy football, not the pick'em version, the regular version, drafting Saturday at 10. So if you want to join us, contact me, and we can put you in league. We need like one more person. So find someone.
Football! When does the regular season kick off, by the way?
First week in September, I think.
Okay, I just need to know when to start tuning into ESPN again.
I believe it's the first week first week of September. It's a Wednesday, I think. Anyway, Saturday at midnight is CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Ace, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday night, as Mace mentioned, WTR Sunday night, we're talking about Batman, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday for another edition of The Rack Live right here at 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Total Divas Extra coming tomorrow afternoon on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, and the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProductions.net. and Canadian All-Pro.
Alright, quite a lot of stuff to plug. So, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, Psychward Designs, check that out. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. Of course, listen to all the other fine programs on this network because we do all work very hard. Check out the Rack Post Show, Rack Extra, whatever you want to call it. We haven't named it yet. We're probably not going to on Total Divas. Check out Total Divas. And, of course, check out our sponsors, BenMillionPromo.com, PWMania.com, and TNAsylum.com. So for Mace, and for Brock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
And I'll be history. Yes, I will straight up leave your shit, and you'll be the one who's left missing me. Yeah! This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way or the highway. This time I'ma let it all come out. Stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way. My way or the highway. Someday you'll see things my way. But you never know. But you never know when you're gonna go. Someday you'll see things my way. You never know. But you never know.
Check out, 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 check out